Morning. Today's daf in Avodah Zarah's Mem Dal, Mem Gimel Mud Beis. We're about halfway down on the Amud. Finish up the sugya today about making celestial bodies, making images of people's faces, etc., etc. Just to make a clear delineation between their two separate issues that were being discussed in yesterday's daf. One issue was buying a kli with a tzura on it. If you buy a particular type of utensil, we'll be a little more specific this afternoon as we get to the end of the sugya, what kli we're talking about. But if you buy a kli with a particular with a artistic drawing on it, so sometimes the way the artistic drawing is drawn, so you know that this kli was used for avodah zarah. As we've discussed now since the beginning of this parak, the third parak of avodah zarah, we know that anything that is actually used as avodah zarah itself, so it is asur b'nai, you're not allowed to get benefit from it. So you can't buy a kli with a particular surah on it. The Mishnah has a very short list of those drawings that are drawn on a kli, where we pretty much know that it was used for avodah zarah. We have enough suspicion that it was used for avodah zarah. The three items mentioned in the Mishnah were the sun and the moon, and a dragon. Those are the three items where if they're drawn on a kli, you know the kli was used for avodah zarah, or you can assume that the kli was used for avodah zarah. There are a couple of other things that were added in a brisa. Maybe a nursing mother, maybe a picture of a ruler, meaning somebody who is ruling with a ruler in his hand, depicting that of Yosef. But anyway, that's one issue. Another issue is that you're not allowed to draw these images. In other words, when I say these images, I don't just limit it to the sun, the moon, and the dragon, but you're not allowed to draw images. The Pasuk says in Parshas Yisro, Perichav, Pasuk Chav, so the Torah says, Lo Asaniti, that you're not allowed to make an image. You're not allowed to actually draw an image. Pasuk reads in total, Lo Sasu Niti, Elohei Chesef, Elohei Zahav, Lo Sasu Lachem. So you're not allowed to draw the image of presumably anything, meaning any celestial body, the image of a man, the image of an animal, etc., etc. So you're not allowed to draw any of that. The problem, as we saw in yesterday's daf, is that if you were to visit the attic of Rabbi Gamliel, so you notice something very interesting. And that is that you have pictures of the moon, not just pictures of a moon, but pictures of many different depictions of the moon. In other words, you have the moon in all of its phases. Because when the Adam would come in and report that they saw the new moon, so he simply pointed to his wall, and he said, well, could you just be a little bit more descriptive? What did it look like? Did it look like that? Did it look like that? And he pointed to various pictures of the moon on his wall. And so that was the Aliyah of Rabbi Gamliel. That's what the attic of Rabbi Gamliel looked like. And so what we asked yesterday was a really simple question. How could he draw the pictures of the moon? Meaning that's its own separate issur of Lo Sasin Iti. So this is the question that we raised yesterday. And as I mentioned yesterday, yesterday's daf Mem Gimel in Avodah Zarah is really the same daf as the Gemara Rosh Hashanah on Chav Dalet. Meaning we're just simply attacking it from two different standpoints. Meaning the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Chav Dalet is interested in Kiddush HaChodesh. So the Gemara over there got on to the topic. That's the Mishnah that talks about Rabbi Gamliel and the moons that he had, the pictures of the moon that he had in the attic. Obviously, as we're learning now, the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, and we're in the beginning of the third parak, so we're interested in it from the standpoint of Avodah Zarah. We are not allowed to draw these pictures. So how did he do it? So those are the questions that we've been asking, and we have been supplying a number of suggestions in the Gemara in terms of how he did so. So one of the suggestions that was given yesterday was that of Abaye. Abaye, there were a number of permutations of Abaye's answer. One suggestion of Abaye is that the only issue is when you draw it to scale. But if you don't draw it to scale, so then maybe it would be okay. Maybe the issue of Lo Sasin Iti is limited only to particular parts of him, particular faces. That was another suggestion of Abaye. But anyway, the Gemara quotes the Brisa, and the Brisa says Beferish, that included in the Isser is you're not allowed to draw a picture of the moon. So the Gemara gives also a couple of other suggestions as well. So we are going to pick it up in the Gemara. We're going to pick it up in the Gemara about halfway down in the Amud. So let's pick it up with the words Enachinami. So let's even go back the Hatanya. Okay, so it's about 10 lines. We'll start today 10 lines from the top of the Amud. Mem Gimel Amud Beis. The Gemara quotes now the following brisa: Asher b'shamayim le'rabos chamal levanu kochavim mazalos. Mima'al rabos malach esharis. Okay, so the Gemara quotes the Brisa, and the Brisa over here says that included in this Isser is the sun, the moon, celestial bodies, right? The mazalos, constellations. More accurately, the kochavim are the stars, the mazalos are the planets in their orbit, but in any event. So, and mimala rabos malach esharis, and includes also angels as well. So, kitanya ilav dam. So the Gemara suggests, well, maybe that Brisa is talking not about the Isser of drawing a picture, but maybe that's talking about the Isser of worshiping. The Gemara says, now you know that can't be. Ilav dam afilo shushul katanami. The Gemara says, well, if that's true, even an earthworm, meaning, as we saw yesterday's daf, in submission chulin, you're not allowed to worship any entity, and it could be something as simple as basic as an earthworm, and still you're not allowed to worship it. So the Gemara says, enachinami u'misefet ekranavka. So the Gemara says, you're right. Let's go to the end of that pasuk. Titania, the pasuk says, Asher ba'aretz l'rabos yamim b'na'aretz arim v'gvos mitachas l'rabos shoshul katan. So the Gemara says, okay, well, that is actually being generated from the end of the pasuk. The asiyah great us misharetz. So the Gemara says, but you're telling me now that as far as the sea, as far as actually drawing a picture, that would be okay? That Titania, the pasuk says, lo sasun iti, lo sasun kidmoshim shayim shamshim lefana b'maron kigon chama levana kochavim mazalos. Here we have a brisa that there's no wiggle room in this brisa. This brisa states very clearly that included in the Isra of Lo Sasoniti, which is the Isra of drawing an image, this brisa clearly states that included in that is Kol Sham Shai, anything that serves me, including the brisa says Beferush Chama Levana Kochava Mazalos. So it says the sun and the moon. So once again now, we are basically back to square one. How can Rabbi Gamliel have pictures of this in his office? So the Gemara makes now for the following suggestion, which is that he didn't draw them, but other people drew it for him. So this is not an original production on his own, but rather others did it for him. An interesting question, if you take a look, again, there are two separate issues. One issue is the actual Avodah Zarah itself, where you're not allowed to get benefit from. And there's another issue of drawing a picture of the celestial bodies. Drawing a picture of the celestial body does not make it Avodah Zarah. It just happens to be that there's a separate Isser not to draw pictures of the celestial body. It doesn't become Avodah Zarah just because you draw the picture. It just happens to be that there is a prohibition of drawing the picture. Now, if you just...
Drawing a picture.
Maybe we'll make a distinction of two-dimensional versus three-dimensional. Meaning, maybe it has to be maybe the image has to be raised. But for the time being, let's just keep it really simple. Let's just simply say that there's an issue to draw a picture of these items. So the first suggestion of the Gemara now is that other people drew it for him. Tosfos over here, again, as I mentioned, an interesting Tosfos. Tosfos over here says, Shani Rabbi Gamliel Dachir Masalo Hiksha. Harav Rabbi Elchanan Lechora Mashma Shitziva Rabbi Gamliel Vekocham Lasos. So Tosfos says now, somebody drew it for him, meaning obviously he wanted the picture of the moon, clearly, meaning it was helpful for the Edim, and so that must mean now that he's going to ask somebody to do it. Now he's not going to ask a Jew to do it because, as we already established, a Jew is not allowed to draw pictures of this. So he asked a non-Jew to do it. So this is interesting because you normally don't see this outside the context of Shabbos, but are you allowed to ask a Jew to do something for you? So on Shabbos, we know the answer, of course, is no. That's the Isser of Amir La'akum. You can't ask a non-Jew to do something for you on Shabbos that you yourself can't do. So that's Amir La'akum. Is there such an idea of Amir La'akum as applies to Shar of Eretz in the Torah? Listen to Tosfos. Tosfos says, V'ha Amir La'vikochavim, V'ha Amir La'vikochavim, Shvuz V'afil B'davish Enosh Shabbos. Tosfos says that the Isser of Amir La'akum is even more expansive than just of Shabbos. In fact, Tosfos says Amir La'akum would apply to any one of the Isserim in the Torah, meaning that if something's prohibited in the Torah, so of course I can't do it, and I can't ask a non-Jew to do it for me. So it's a really an interesting assumption of Tosfos. And it's really based on the Gemara in Bava Metzia. Yeah, in fact, he quotes the Gemara in Bava Metzia that if I can't do something, I can't ask a guy to do it for me. And this is the Isser of Amir La'akum. You thought, or at least I'll speak on behalf of myself, I thought that that was limited, that was strictly exclusive to the idea of Shabbos. Not the case. In other words, it applies to Shari Sirim as well. And Tosfos over here gives a very terse answer in terms of, well, what are we going to say over here? Tosfos suggests, well, maybe it's different over here, V'yishlamed de mitzvah shani. Well, this is for the purpose of the mitzvah, and therefore it's okay. Hard to understand. In other words, where does the question begin? Where's the answer? How does the answer answer the question? If it's an isser, so how can a mitzvah then make it okay? There is an idea by Amir Lakum by Shabbos that for mitzvahs it's okay, but it's not that simple. Meaning on Shabbos, we say shvus to shvus b'makam mitzvah. It has to be Amir Lakum on an isser derabbanan when there's a mitzvah opportunity. Okay, in other words, the answer needs more clarification, but just right now the idea, it's a really interesting idea, that Amir Lakum applies not just to Shabbos, but to Shari Sirim as well. The Gemara.
Does this price argue for our Mishnah? Because our Mishnah just said three things.
Our Mishnah, again, there are two. That's why I start off. There are two different Isurim. Our Mishnah is just talking about when you find a picture on a Kli, it must be that that Kli was worshipped. In other words, because that was a minhag back then, that when you draw particular pictures on items, so it means that the item was worshipped. That's proof positive that the item was worshipped. Then we're talking about Avodah Zarah Mamish. Meaning the Kli now is Avodah Zarah, and the picture is just simply a telltale sign that that was Avodah Zarah. Now the Gemara is talking about drawing a picture, which, as we're learning now, is an Isser in the Torah. One is not allowed to draw a picture of the celestial bodies.
Which is separate Isser.
Separate Isser. Separate Isser. Yeah, right.
You cannot draw a Kli, but you can find it, you're okay.
Yeah, right, correct. Correct. Okay. So, the
fact that not all of his pictures were right. I mean, there's only one of them.
No, but in other words, no, I understand that. But the Isser is drawing pictures of the celestial body. In other words, no, they were all right, by the way. They're all different phases of the moon.
Yeah, but what he was supposed to see was only one of them.
No, but I understand. But each one of them depicted a phase of the moon. Each one of them was a picture of the moon. Okay. So the So back to the Gemara. So the Gemara says, V'harav Yehuda d'achir masulo. So the Gemara says, now, you know, Rav Yehuda had something similar, where others made it for him as well, and Amalei Shmuel, the Rav Yehuda, and his Rebbe Shmuel came over to Rav Yehuda and said to him, Shinana. And that was the nickname that Shmuel enjoyed calling Rav Yehuda. The simplest way to explain it is that it just simply means you're very sharp. But Shinana, Sami Einid Dedain. In other words, so you have an image of something, so you know what you need to do? You need to rub out its eye. Meaning that let's assume together that we're talking about the image of a human, and you're not allowed to have, in other words, you're not allowed to make images of any celestial body, and including in that also, you're not allowed to make the image of a human. And so what Shmuel says to Rabbi Yehuda is that you gotta take out, knock out an eye, seemingly. All right, let's say it like that. You have to knock out an eye of the image that you just drew. Okay, So the Gemara says, well, no, that's a little bit different. You see, when it comes to the pictures in Rabbi Gamliel's office, so that was a flat two-dimensional picture. When it came to the pictures that were, that Rabbi Yehuda had, so he had a picture of a human, and it was bolate. So in other words, it protruded. So it was not just a simple, flat, two-dimensional picture, but it actually was, it was an image that had form. It was three-dimensional. The tie in the Gemara, and I'm sorry, an important word I don't want to overlook, and mishim chashada, meaning when the item was given to Rav Yehuda, clearly, in other words, there's no issue of Avodah Zarah, meaning he's not worshipping it, and let's even say that the person who put it together didn't worship it as well. So over here, what's the issue? The issue is chashad, meaning suspicion, meaning that when you have an image, it's a graven image, it's a protruding image. So now, just because of appearances and the way it looks, so you shouldn't have it because of a issue of chashad and issur derabbanan. De Tanya, the Gemara now introduces us to such a brisa. Tabashe chosma bolet asolah nicha umotalach tambo. So when you have a ring, and on the signet ring that has now an image that's protruding, so asolah nicha, so what you really can't do is you can't really have the ring. Meaning, there's a prohibition to have that ring. Why? Again, you're not serving as an Avodah Zarah. And let's even assume the person who made it also didn't serve it as an Avodah Zarah. The problem is that when you have something which is bolate, When you have an image which is protruding, so you have now, you're giving off the impression that you're being over to Avodah Zarah. Again, otherwise known as Chashad. So therefore, what you have to do is, yeah, you can't keep it. However, but what you can do, meaning it's not, assuming it's not yours, is that you can actually use it to seal something. You can seal a document with such a signet ring. Why? Because since the ring itself is protruding out, that means that when you're sealing with it, so the seal that you're making now is going to be a recessed image, and that in of itself is fine. A recessed image does not violate the Isur of Chashad. However, Chos Mashokeya, let's do it the other way. Let's have a signet ring where the image is recessed. So Mutar Lahanicha, so in terms of keeping the ring, you can keep the ring. Meaning the only Isur of Chashad is only when it's protruding, not when it's recessed. V'aso Lachtam Ba. But you can't seal with such a ring. Why? Because now when you seal with a ring that's recessed, so that means that the seal itself is going to be bolate, and now you're going to have an image that is protruding, and once you have an image that's protruding, that is consideration of chashad. Umi chayshin al-chashad, the Gemara says, really? Is chashad really consideration? So there was a shul na'arda, it was called Shafi Yosef. You'll see Rashi, I'm not going to go through it right now. Rashi offers a couple of explanations in terms of why the shul was called Shafi Yosef. But in any event, there was a shul na'arda. The uk mebe andarte. So there was a statue right in front of the shul. And two Amoraim, the father of Shmuel, together with Levi, walked in and davened such a shul. And they were not concerned about chashad. So Rabim Shani, so the Gemara says, look, if a private individual owns a protruding image, so then we're worried about chashad. But if the shul is in a public area, or I should say better, if the image is in a public area owned by the public, so then we're not worried about chashad, meaning we're not going to suspect that an entire community is going to be worshipping an idol.
It's actually adopted like the Maradayan, because they're thinking it's a permitted thing.
Right.
They're doing it like a...
Right, right. So the, okay, but in other words, there's no issue of chashad. V'harem Gamliel di'achidu, so the Gemara says, what about Rami Gamliel? In other words, isn't Rami Gamliel a private individual? So the... So isn't he a private individual? So Kevin the Nasi who Shricha Rabbi Gabe. So one suggestion of the Gemara is, well, he's a Nasi. In other words, it's Rabbi Gamliel. So he was a leader. So many people visit him all the time. So he's considered like a public, he's a public servant, and there are people coming to him all the time. Another suggestion of the Gemara is, well, you know, the moon, even though he had pictures of the moon, it wasn't the complete picture of the moon. Actually, it was sections of the picture of the moon. And what happened was, is when the witnesses would come in, he would piece the pictures together, then show them the pictures, but then he would disassemble it after they left. Or the Gemara offers another suggestion in that you're not allowed to paint a picture of any of the celestial bodies when you are doing so for decorative purposes, for ornamental purposes. Over here, this was strictly educational. L'islamishani, education for educational purposes, it would be different. The Tanya, the Gemara over here, quotes from the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Lo suma lasos, meaning over here we're talking about the Isser of not practicing magic, not practicing sorcery. The Torah says, lo suma lasos, Torah says that you're not allowed to learn how to do it. Ava atalame lahavinu laharos. However, you're a member of Sanhedrin. You need to know the discipline. You have to know how sorcery is done. People are going to come into your court, you're going to try them for sorcery, and if you don't know what it is, and you don't know how it's practiced, and you know anything about it, so then how could you be a judge and try somebody over it? Must be that for educational purposes, it's okay. So the Gemara is suggesting over here, same thing with the moon. The drawing the picture of the moon would be okay if it's for educational purposes. Really interesting, another interesting Tosfos for today. Tosfos over here is bothered by the following. The Gemara was asking about the office of Rabbi Gamliel, the attic of Rabbi Gamliel. He had pictures of the moon, and the Gemara ends up giving a number of suggestions in terms of why it is that he was allowed to have such pictures in his office. And then we just went through the Gemara and its numerous answers. Tosfos is bothered. Well, why not suggest simply that the pictures over here were two-dimensional, not three-dimensional? So in other words, didn't the Gemara previously say there's a difference between an image which is protruding versus an image that's not protruding?
The
The chayim berakia shokim heim v'lo maflik ba'achi elagabi partzufin v'chayos lebehem. Really interesting psak. It's a psak by the Balei HaTosfos, and that is that we're going to make a distinction between drawing pictures of the sun, the moon, the stars, versus drawing a picture of a human face. Drawing the picture of a human face, so that is only going to be an isser when it's not a picture, two-dimensional picture, but it's an actual image with form, with shape. In other words, it's protruding. Masha ain't came when you're talking about drawing a picture of the sun, the moon, the stars, so there that would be an isser, even if it was just two-dimensional, even if it was just a flat picture with no with no 3D, nothing protruding. Why? In other words, Tosa says it, meaning, and now you understand that that's why the Gemara didn't give this answer for Rami Gamal and the moons and the pictures of the moon, because according to Tosa, for the moon, it doesn't have to be three-dimensional. Two-dimensional would be still an isser of the Torah. What's that distinction? Why should there be a distinction between drawing pictures of the sun and the moon and drawing pictures of faces? So so Rishonim say that it's very simple, because think of it from our perception. Meaning when we see the sun, what do we really see? In other words, meaning we see 2D. Meaning we know it's a 3D, it reflects a 3D item, but from our perception we see it in two dimensions. And we only see it in two dimensions. Same thing with the moon, same thing with the stars. Meaning so that meaning our mental image of these particular items are two-dimensional, so therefore the Isser of Lo Sasu Niti is going to cover even if it's just two-dimensional. However, when we see somebody's face, so we get to see it from different angles and different perspectives, we see it in 3D, so therefore the Isser of Lo Sasu Niti when it comes to a face is only going to be when it's in 3D. That's a simple explanation of Tosus's distinction. Let's go on in the Gemara. We are towards the bottom of the Amud of Shim Gamil Amr V'chulei. By the way, parenthetically, there are this Gemara over here. I mean, it's we tend not to be careful in this area of drawing pictures of celestial bodies, drawing pictures of people's faces. But there obviously is halachic ramifications, and there's a number of considerations. Actually, in the Gemara itself, we already saw a number of considerations. Seek rabbinic consultation if you want to know halacha lemaisa. The Mishnah went on to point out that we're talking about buying a kli with a picture of either a sun or moon or a dragon on it, and the Mishnah says you assume that the kli was worshipped as an avodah zarah, therefore it's asur b'hanah. Then the Mishnah brought in the opinion of Rosh Hashem Gamliel, and Rosh Hashem Gamliel says it depends. Now, what does it depend on? So he uses a really cryptic language in the Mishnah of whether or not it's mechubad or it's not mechubad. Now, he doesn't explain any more than that, and that obviously begs the obvious question. What is he talking about? Rav Shem Gamliel Amar V'chulei, Ezo hein mechubad v'ezo hein mevuzim. So what is considered mechubad? What's considered mevuzim? Amar av mechubad l'malam min amayim, mevuzim l'matam min amayim. So the first suggestion of the Gemara is that, if you can imagine, let's take a look at a pot together, meaning we're talking about a kli, meaning a pot. And there's a place where you fill the water up till, and then there's the above fill area. So on the pot, if the picture was drawn anywhere where the water was filled, meaning below the water line, so that's mevuzeh. It's not mechubad, it's not an honorific place to draw the picture, and therefore the kli was not worshipped as an avodah zarah. If, however, the picture was drawn anywhere above, meaning towards the top of the pot, Rashi describes it as the ugne hakli, the rim of the pot. So then, that is a place which is mechuban, and therefore the kli was probably used for avodah zarah. Shmuel amar, elevele mevuzim hein. Shmuel says, no, you're talking about drawing pictures on a pot? On a pot that were used for cooking? No, that's not, that pot was not used for avodah zarah. Ela elo hein mechubadim, shalashir v'al nazam v'al tabos. Shmuel says it's very simple, meaning the Mishnah used the word kalim. Kalim means a lot of things. Kalim can mean pots. Kalim can mean clothing. Kalim can mean jewelry. Shmuel says, and when Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the Mishnah is making a distinction between mechubad versus mevuzeh, what he means is that in things that were worshipped were jewelry, things like bracelets, earrings. nose rings. Tani kavasi yishmol the gemara quotes the brisa. Mechubarim shal hashem al nazam v'al tabaz mevuzim shal ayoras v'al kum kam sin v'al machme amayim v'shal asedin v'al matpachos. Meaning, if the pictures are drawn on pots, pans, bed sheets, clothing, that wasn't worshipped as avodah zarah. The things that were worshipped as avodah zarah were jewelry, ornamental jewelry, with pictures of the sun or the moon or the dragon, and the couple of other things that we may have added also along the way. Those things were worshipped as avodah zarah. But if we're talking about a pot and a pan, doesn't matter where on the pot and the pan it's drawn, according to Shmuel, it was not used, you can assume it was not used for avodah zarah. We are on the Mishnah, Mem Gimel Amud Beis. We're starting now, Rabbi Yossi Amar, Shochei V'Zorah L'Ruach, O Matal Yam. Okay, you have an avodah zarah, meaning you got your hands on some avodah zarah, you have to dispose of it. So the Mishnah over here talks about proper disposal of avodah zarah. According to the opinion of Rabbi Yossi of our Mishnah, what you're going to do is you're going to grind it up, and you're going to throw it into the wind, or you're going to throw it into the yam. And presumably by Yam over here, he means Yam HaMelech. But in other words, destruction. Full destruction of the item. Amar lo, to which the Chacham said, Rav Yossi, that is insufficient. Why? So, Af hu nasa zevel, shenem lo yidbak b'yad chamum menacherim. So the Chacham say, look, you're going to grind it up, and you're going to throw it into the wind, and then what? Then it's going to spread over your field, and it's going to help fertilize your field. And so, therefore, you're going to be getting benefit from even the residual of the avodah zarah. The Torah says, "Lo yidbak b'yarcha ma'umah menachem." You can't get any hana whatsoever from the avodah zarah. So what is that issue over here between Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim? Meaning, first of all, no. I'm sorry. Let me directly answer your question. The answer is no. In other words, if the avodah zarah is owned by a Jew, there's no bittul. Okay. Bittul only is if it's owned by a non-Jew. If a non-Jew owns it, so then there can be an opportunity for bittul. But if it's owned by a Jew, there's no bittul. What is that issue over here? What's the machlokus between Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim? So let's take a look together at Tosos. Another Tosos for today. Amalem Rabbi Yossi Chachamim Lofar Nemar Ve'eschat Aschem. Back up. Okay, I went too far down. Amrulo Afhu Nasa Zevel. Perish Rashbam. So Tosfos over here quotes the Rashbam, one of the Balei HaTosfos, grandson to Rashi, and he writes, "V'kasar v'zev v'zegorim asav Rav Yossi lo chayish asav v'zev v'zegorim mutar." Okay, so an interesting way of explaining the machlokus of the Mishnah between Rav Yossi and the Chachamim, which means, of course, we're not getting this in the Gemara. The Gemara is not going to give a hezber if the Balei HaTosfos, if the Rashbam is giving a hezber, and he says, "Look, we have a principle what's known in halacha zev v'zegorim." Okay, first of all, let's familiarize ourselves with the concept. What's Zev HaZegorim? It means like this. When I have something, we just discussed it in the production of cheese. When I have something which is a catalyst, which is an enzyme, and it causes something now to be produced. So this in halacha is referred to as a gorim. If something is a gorim, meaning that it is a catalyst, it is the enzyme, it causes the existence of something else. So if the catalyst itself is asr, so the result is going to be asr. Right? That's what we were discussing in terms of the production of the cheese. If the rennet that you use is coming out of the animal of an avodah zarah, so that means that the catalyst is aser, that which it produces, and bittul no longer becomes an issue. Meaning, if it causes the cheese to curdle, so therefore the resulting cheese is going to be aser as well. That's zegorim, and that's going to be aser. We are talking about zevizegorim. What's zevizegorim? What if I have two catalysts? One which is aser, and one which is motor. And it's only through the joint, the combination of this and this, which creates the item. And this in halacha is known as zev zegarim, meaning one of the catalysts is aser, one of the catalysts is motor. And so what do we say regarding zev zegarim? So, if you've been around long enough, you'll know, machlokas. So machlokas throughout the Gemara, whether or not zev zegarim is aser, or zev zegarim is motor. The Rashbam says that could be the machlokas over here in our Mishnah, between Rav Yossi and the Chachamim. Rav Yossi... Meaning, Rav Yossi said, Rav Yossi says that what you're going to do is you're going to grind up and you're going to throw on the field. Is that the only fertilizer on the field? No. In other words, presumably you threw other fertilizer on the field as well. So according to Rav Yossi, I know that it's going to be, if you throw it into the wind, it's going to go onto the field. Okay, but that's only one goreim on the field. You're going to be throwing other fertilizer on the field as well. And therefore, Rav Yossi says, look, it's Zevet Zagarim, and I subscribe to the idea of Zevet Zagarim is mutter. Where according to the Chachamim said, I don't care. Meaning, if the residual, if the powdered Avodah Zarah, which is still Aser Ba'anah, is now on the field, even if there are other fertilizers, the Chachamim of the opinion, Zevet Zagarim is going to be Aser. That is how Tosus explains the Machlokas between the tonight. Tanya.
How do you destroy the idol according to the metal idol?
According to the Chachamim? In other words, not only the destruction, but you have to put in Geniza. You have to put in a place where you're never going to get benefit from it.
Or you could have the disrespection, the angle.
We're getting there. The Gemara is going to cover that. Tanya, the Gemara quotes a Braisa, Amar Lehem, Rabbi Yosef, Alok, Vanemar. So now what we're going to be doing in the course of today's office, we're going to be going through a number of instances throughout Tanakh, where we had an Avodah Zarah, it was destroyed, and so that could easily serve as a base model of whose position seems to be more correct. So we are on the very bottom of Mem Gimel Amud Beis. So we start with a Braisa, Amalam Rav Yossi. So Rav Yossi says, back to the Chachamim V'lo Kfar Nemar. So he says regarding the Egel, this week's Parsha, the Eschataschem, Asher Asitzem Es HaEgel, Lakaskev Esrof Asor Ba'ish Va'akos, Moshe took the egel azav, ground it up into powder, threw it into the river, and presumably what it then did is that it fertilized somebody's field. But that was fine. Meaning, Sir Rav Yossi says, this week's parsha seems to be an excellent raya for my shita. So Amr Lo, so the Chachamim say back to Rav Yossi, nope. Read on in this week's parsha. And what you're going to find is that what Moshe did is he took the water with the ashes of the egel, and he had Bnei Yisrael drink from it, and they drank it like a sota. In fact, lo niskavin ela levod kan kesotos. In fact, one of the tests that he tested is to see whether or not who was over the Avodah Zarah. And the Gemara over here doesn't go into detail. In fact, you're looking Rashi in this week's Parsha, so you see that some of them got Misa for blatantly being over to Avodah Zarah. Those who did not have testimony, do not have witnesses, but suspected of being over to Avodah Zarah, so they drank from this little potion of water together with the ashes of the Egel Azav. But anyway, Chachamim say back to Rav Yossi, this can't serve as a proof for you. In fact, this was the plan. The plan was to take the powdered egel hazav and to put it in the water and to have Bnei Yisrael drink from it. So in other words, this is not going to be what we normally do for Avodah Zarah. Amar lehem Rabbi Yossi, continuing the Gemara V'lo Kfar Nemar, V'gam ma'acha eim asa ha-melech hisira migvira. So they deposed the mother of Asa. Asa, one of the kings of Yehuda, and they deposed her. Asher Asasa, now a little bit of a change of girsa in terms of quoting the pasuk correctly. La Ashera Miflatses V'chulei V'yadek V'yisrok B'nachal Kidron. So she made a particular Avodah Zarah. It was called a Maflatses. We'll explain that better in just a moment. And what they did is they ground it up and they threw it into Nachal Kidron. Huh. So in other words, again, Rav Yossi says, another proof for me that once you have Avodah Zarah, so proper destruction of it is just simply reducing it into powder, grinding it up. And then look what they did. They threw it into the Nachal Kidron. So Amr Lo, so the Chachamim respond, Misham Raya, Nachal Kidron, ain't a Megaz of Smachim. And the response is, what are you talking about? The Nachal Kidron is an infertile area. Nothing is growing over there. It's not fertilizing anything. Basically, it's like putting into Geniza. Nobody's going to be getting any benefit from the dust. So the Velo, the Gemara says, but wait a second. Is that right? Vatanya, the Gemara over here now is talking about the blood after it's poured onto the Mizbech. Meaning we know that with a carbon, so blood is sprinkled onto the Mizbech, and then whatever blood is remaining is poured al yisod ha-Mizbech, is poured down the foundation of the Mizbech. Now, it doesn't just simply miraculously disappear, meaning that what there is there are pipes over there. The pipes take the blood and channel it out of the Azara. Bring it down to where? So here we are now going to be learning together a Mishnah, a Braisa, that's going to be describing now where the blood goes after it's poured on the Yisod HaMizbech. Vatanya, the Gemara quotes a Braisa, Elu, the Elu, Mitarvim, Ba'ama, So it goes down a particular pipe. So what happens is it goes down to Nachal Kidron, sold to farmers, and if they don't pay for it, if they just take it without paying for it, so then they're going to be subject to Me'ilah. So the Gemara says, so you see Nachal Kidron and fertilization. So the Gemara says, now Mekamus Yeshbo, Yesh Makam Megal Tzmachim, Yesh Makam Shem Megal Tzmachim. So the Gemara says Nachal Kidron is just not, it's not binary. It's not, it either is a fertile area or it's not a fertile area. Nachal Kidron, parts of it that are fertile, parts of it that are not fertile. So the Gemara says, that's not a question. We noted that the mother of Asa had a particular Avodah Zarah. It was called a mafletzes or miflatzasa. What is that? My miflatzasa? I'm Rav Yehuda Dava mafli leitzenusa. It was, I'll use a strong adjective. It was a ridiculous in terms of how much of a leitzenus it was, how much of a mockery it was. Kedini Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef taught the following. Kemin zachru sasasalava haisa nevelas lo b'chol yom. In other words, she turned it into a form of a male, and she had relations with it. Amalem Rav Yosef alakra namar. So again, Rav Yosef now is going to be signing his third place in Tanakh, where we see that there's a avodah zarah, and what do? They reduced into powder. We are now in the end of Malachim Beis, or towards the end of Malachim Beis. V'kite nachash nechosha shir samosha. Now we're talking about Chizkiyahu HaMelech. Chizkiyahu HaMelech did a number of things. The Mishnah in Pesachim, fourth perek, goes through numerous things that Chizkiyahu did. Some the Chachamim commanded, some the Chachamim did not. He took the Nechash and Nechoshes that was made by Moshe Rabbeinu generations earlier, years earlier, and what he do is he ground it up. The reason why he ground it up is because what people started doing is they started worshiping the Nechash and Nechoshes that was kept all the way from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, and because people started treating it like an avodah zarah, so therefore he ground it up. So, seems like proper disposal of avodah zarah to grind it up. Amrullah Misham Raya Arei Omer. So the Gemara says, once again, I don't think that's going to be a good proof, says the Chacham. And why? Because Vayomer Hashem Moshe, I'll say, Lecha Saraf. Because when Moshe gave instructions to Moshe to make the copper snake, so it says, I say Lecha. What does the word Lecha mean? Mishalcha. Meaning, who paid for it? So, oddly enough, came out of Moshe's pocket. Meaning the Nechash and Nechoshes that was made by Moshe was not public money, but it came out of private money of Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Gemara says, so what does that now mean? It now means that this was a private entity. When you have something which is a private entity, nobody can come along and give it status. In other words, it's true by Hektish, it's true by Avodah Zarah as well. If I own something, you can't worship it, and now it becomes Avodah Zarah. You can only make something have Avodah Zarah status when you are the rightful owner of the item. So over here, this is Moshe's. Nobody can turn it into Avodah Zarah. It can't become Avodah Zarah. Based on the principle of Ein Adam Da'osah Da'vashen Shalom. V'asam Adinu D'kesuz Zilav Etzarech. And of course, Chizkiyahu didn't even have to grind it up. Nobody can turn it into an Avodah Zarah. Elakem D'chazad D'katar Yisrael Basrei Amar V'kitato. It just happens to be that he's watching people worship it, even though they're not giving it Avodah Zarah status. And he's like, this is ridiculous, enough already, grinds it up. But not because it's Avodah Zarah and this is proper disposal of Avodah Zarah. He just wanted people to stop worshipping it. The Amar Lahem, here we are now in the fourth place in Tanakh. V'alok for Anamar. So this is now in the war, the battle between David and the Plishtim. So he now, David goes to battle. V'yizvusham esatzabayim v'yisaim David v'anashav. So the Plishtim are now running away, and the Plishtim had their idols, and they just left their idols right there. And what did David and his army do? So they ground up the idols. So again now, a fourth place in Tanakh where it seems like proper disposal of Avodah Zarah is to grind it up. So the Gemara says, "Am I mashma David, yisim David, lishin d'zriyehu?" The Gemara says, first of all, just linguistically, how did you know that? In other words, it says, "Vayisa'im." How does that mean grinding? Grind it up, and the wind will take it. So in other words, you look at the Targum of Rav Yosef that he writes extensively on Nach, and you'll see that the word tisaim means to grind it up. So Amru lo Misham Raya. So to be a little more technical, by the way, the word tisei means that the wind is going to carry it because it was ground up. But anyway, we know it was ground up. So Amar lo, so again, now you have Rav Yossi bringing a fourth proof in Tanakh, and here comes the Chachamim's deflection again. Misham raya hare omer. Vayisrafu beish. The pasuk says that he burnt in a fire in Midlotziv. Vayisrafim. Vayisaim. Shmamina vayisaim mamash. So in other words, what actually, you're wrong. Meaning, vayisaim, you assume meant that it grounded up. No, vayisaim means they actually picked it up. Meaning, they took it home. So, the Gemara says, mikamakom kasha kraya dadi. The Gemara says, but I am a little bit confused because we're talking about avodah zarah. How are they going to pick up avodah zarah and take it home? It's avodah zarah. So, k'd Rav Huna, the Gemara explains, just like Rav Huna, the Rav Huna Rami, k'siv v'yom adav v'yisrufu be'eshu, k'siv v'yisayim, lo kasha kam kona shabai iti hagiti, kan la'achar shabai itai hagiti. Iti hagiti was a non-Jew, and we know that a non-Jew has the ability to mevatel avodah zarah. So prior to Itai Agiti coming along and being Mevatel the Avodah Zarah, it had the status of Avodah Zarah and therefore needed to be destroyed. However, when Itai Agiti comes along and is Mevatel the Avodah Zarah, and he could do so as a non-Jew, so therefore it no longer has the status of Avodah Zarah, and therefore they could take it home and use it. Dichsiv, and the Gemara now is going to bring a proof that this is in fact so. So the pasuk says, back to Shmuel Beis, Vayikach Zataras Makame Al Rosho Mishkala Kikar Zahav. So, this is David going to battle against the Bnei Amon. And he took a crown. The crown was made up of gold. And he is now using it as his own personal crown. It was a crown of Avodah Zarah.
That's Adonio, I think.
I'm sorry, by the way, correct. Right, there's a good correction. But, we're going to get to Adonio in just a moment. Right now it's David. So Umishari, the Gemara says, Yisura Ananinu, Amar Avnachman, Itai Giti, Baal Vitla. And again, David's trusted friend, Itai Giti, was not Jewish, so he was the one who was Mevatel. And again, like we learned yesterday's daf, and we're repeating now in today's daf, a goy can be Mevatel of Avodah Zarah, and like we said in yesterday's daf, doesn't even have to be his own Avodah Zarah. It could be that of a goy, and he could be Mevatel. So the Gemara says, now Mishkala, Kikar Zahav, Echimati Manachle. Now it was a Kikar Zahav. It weighed a lot. Okay, I'd love it if I can give you like a numeric number in terms of how much it weighed. So kikar just simply means, I mean, not simply, but if there is a numeric weight to it, but for our purposes right now, it was really heavy. So, and he's putting on his head and wearing it as a crown. How could that be? I'm Rav Yehuda Merav, Ru'uy Alanu Charosh Tavid. It doesn't mean that he actually wore it in his head, but Ru'uy, it was befitting. So Rav Yehuda, Rav Yechanina, Amar, Evan Shoev, Esai Sabah, Dahavadar Allah. So the Gemara says magnetics. Okay, David HaMelech, with the help of magnetics, was able to burden the crown on his head. Rabbi Lazar Amar, Evan Yikara, Isaba, Sheshava Kikar Zahav. So the...
56
pounds.
Yeah. The only problem is, the gold is not attracted to a magnet.
Oh, okay. Oh, he's the scientist amongst us. Okay. So, it's okay, but you're right. So Rabbi Lazar Amar, Evan Yikara, Isaba, Sheshava Kikar Zahav. Or another suggestion is that, no, it wasn't gold. It was the value of Kikar Zahav, but it was Evan Yikara. It was another precious stone. But it weighed significantly less. Okay. We're now going to, as long as we're here, we have a little bit of opportunity to talk a little bit about the crown that's worn by David HaMelech. Pasuk says in Tehillim. Okay, this is Perek Kofi Yates. That's the really long Perek. All right, 176 Pesukim. Zos HaSali, this is only 56 Pasuk. Zos HaSali, Ki Pekudech HaNatzarti. So this magiali, meaning I got this because I observed your mitzvahs. And the Gemara goes on to explain my kamar, achi kamar, bezchar shepikudecha nitzarti, zor saisili la'edus. Because I observed your mitzvahs, so this served to me as a testimony. My edusa, how is the crown testimony? So the Gemara says, because I'm Rav Yishua ben Levi Shaya, manicha bimkom tfilin v'ho lamto. So in other words, what he did is he wore it on his head. It fit perfectly, and he put it on the makom ha'tefillin. So the haba yanuchi tefillin. The Gemara says, "Wonderful! Doesn't he have to wear tefillin?" Meaning, how can it be that he put it in the makom ha'tefillin, basically where we put our tefillin on a shalrosh on our head, and it fit him perfectly? And okay, so in other words, so the crown fit, right? Giving indication, it's edus that he in fact is right lamalchus. It's all very good, but he also has to wear tefillin. So the Gemara says, "I'm Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak Makam Yesh Barosh Shavar Laniach Bo Shtei Tefillin." So the Gemara says there is enough room on a man's head where the truth of the matter is that there could be two pair of tefillin on it. So in other words, he could be wearing the crown, and there still could be room also for tefillin as well. The way most people explain this Gemara, most Rishonim explain this Gemara, when talking about there's room enough on a person's head for tefillin, the Gemara is not talking horizontally, the Gemara is talking vertically, meaning a line drawing up. So in other words, if you start with your hairline, where your hairline actually is or was, depending on, you know, where you are, where you follically are in life, but in other words, that's the starting point of where your tefillin should go, and then you go back, in other words, you head towards the top of your head, and so the way most Rishonim explain the Gemara is that now there is room for two pairs of tefillin. But in terms of horizontally, so the tefillin should be centered on your head, and presumably there's only room for one tefillin horizontally. But in other words, front back, there's room for two pairs of tefillin. And I also, by the way, it kind of also depends on how big your tefillin are. Meaning the tefillin that we make nowadays is significantly bigger than the ones that were worn in the previous generation. Yeah. In other words, and right, it used to be the minhag. Shulchan Aruch talks about this. Right, it used to be the minhag that when people wore two pairs of tefillin, in other words, they wore Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. So the minhag that we're used to seeing is that they wear one after the other. But the Shulchan Aruch already brings down that for those people who are wearing two pairs of tefillin, so they wore literally both on their head, meaning because our Gemara says there's room for two on the top of the head. V'yotziu es ben melech. So we are now talking more about more crown talk and how the crown serve as testimony. So v'yotziu es ben melech. We're talking about Yoash. V'yinu alav es nezer ve'es ha'edus. And they put the crown, the testimony. Nezer ze klila. That's talking about the actual crown. Edus. I'm Rav Yehuda. I'm Rav. Edus zula based David. Shekol haroi lamachus ho lam to. V'chol she'enu roi lamachus ena ho lam to. So the simplest way to explain the Gemara is that if the shoe fits, so in this case, if the crown fits, so then you are roi lamachus. Okay, various degrees of how to explain the Gemara, meaning was it a specific type of fit? Was it a specific shape of the head? Okay, whatever the case is, let's just say the Gemara simply, the crown fit, you are part of Malchus Beis David. Ve'adoniyahu ben Chagis misnasei leimor aniyam lohocham rav yudam rav shimisnasei lohomo v'loholamto. Adoniyahu, the son of David, who in the beginning of Sefer Malachim attempted to become the king, well, he put on the crown, but the crown didn't fit. Okay, so good indication that he was not right to be the king. It says regarding David that he had chariots and people running in front of him. My, this is Adoniyahu. Good, thank you. My Rebusai, the Gemara says the Chiddush is what? Tana kulam nitule tchol. They had their spleens removed. V'chakuki kapos haraglaim hayu, and they had their feet kind of carved out. Basically they were superior warriors is a description of Adoniyahu and his crack unit team. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up with the Mishnah. We'll start with a discussion between a philosopher and Rabbi Gamliel as they go to the bathhouse together. We'll start that discussion tomorrow. We'll start the Mishnah on the Amud Beis tomorrow. Tomorrow, same time, and if you want, you can go hear Megillah after the daf. Everyone have a very easy fast.